you want to talk about high school basketball here in the Las Vegas Valley, you've come to the right place. Prep Sports Now, Case Kiefer here once again alongside Ray Brewer. The last edition of the podcast for a while with teams kind of taking off, at least no real league play or things of that nature during the holiday break, some tournaments. But we'll break it all down for you today, and then we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Once again, Prep Sports Now, presented by the Nevada Department of Public Safety. Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. I almost messed that up again.
We should just change their logo. Could we call the state and tell them that we've got a new motto for them? It'd be more memorable than what it really is.
But then people would think about it and be like, that doesn't make any sense.
Hands on the road, eyes on the wheel.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, shout out to those guys for sponsoring us. Prep Sports Now podcast. Talking high school hoops. Case Kiefer, Ray Brewer. How about my Wildcats, baby? Las Vegas High.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
What I'm talking about. I might be right.
They're pretty good. I mean, to beat Foothill and Palo Verde both within 4 days, I don't think there's many teams around that could do that. I mean, that's two really good teams. Palo Verde did take them into overtime. Once they got to overtime, they outscored them by 13. It's like a bad beat when you're betting on the NBA. You have a team minus nine and they win by you have a team plus nine and the other team wins by 10 in overtime. But really impressed with Vegas. Your boy Aziz Leaks, I don't know if I said his name right, he's just tearing it up, it seems like. He's averaging a lot of points and kind of leading the Wildcats over there.
Yeah, and then the next day after or 2 days later after the Palo, when they beat Foothill 66-60, and the Sunrise is going to be back and forth all year. And obviously,
I think the Foothill one came first.
Oh, did it?
I think so.
Yeah. The Sunrise is going to be up and down all year. We know it's still early on, so it's tough to kind of make some judgments. But I watched Foothill kind of dismantle Green Valley. Green Valley couldn't even get the ball up the court. Foothill's got a great backcourt. Brandon Crescento, Elijah Smith, very athletic, super quick. However, the Falcons don't have much size, and neither does Palo Verde, and neither does some of the other teams in the Sunrise. And with Leaks and Major, who I believe are 6'7 and 6'5 respectively, we might want to check that. I think the size gives Las Vegas an advantage. And these are guys who could play on the wing and have some ball handling skills as well. So I think those two guys might win my Wildcats the region.
So, yeah, I think they're definitely in the conversation now. I know I was kind of hesitant on them just because I thought Valley was probably better. And I thought Canyon Springs also was in the conversation. I still think they're in the conversation. I saw them this week. They just really need to get Davis back. I think you're justified in being high on Las Vegas right now. I think this far in the season, they've been the most impressive team in the Northeast.
I would agree with you.
And while we're on things that you're right about, you mentioned this, and since we're also talking about the Northeast, you mentioned Green Valley struggles. I think on the podcast last week, I said they would win one of their next three games. And I think they're playing Basic, Foothill, and maybe
Clark.
Were they playing Vegas? No, Clark was last night. I think they played Vegas, too.
No, Clark on Friday. They lost to Clark on Friday.
Okay, well, I wasn't that bad about that because I said I would take them plus 13, and you thought I was crazy, and they only lost by 14.
Okay.
But anyways, I said they would win one game between Basic, Foothill, and Clark. They came close against Basic. I think it may have even gone to overtime.
Yeah,
or a close
lost in overtime, and then got to come back the next day and play Foothill, which hadn't played the previous day, and Green Valley was clearly gassed. They had players that were tired. Like I said earlier, couldn't get the ball up the court. So I still think Green Valley is fourth best in that Northeast and a far fourth best. I think the top three, clear cut, no doubt about it, the Valley Vikings, the Las Vegas Wildcats, and the Canyon Springs Pioneers, 1, 2, 3, shuffle the deck however you want, and Green Valley a distant four.
Yeah, and I kind of disagreed with that. I said anyone could win it last week. Now I think you're right. Green Valley is the four. I was getting confused. Last night they played Desert Pines. They actually played pretty decent. Then they lost by 7. But I thought they would win one of those games. I was wrong. I think you said they had trouble getting the ball up the court. It does seem like offense is the problem. In those games against Foothill and Clark, they scored like 46 points and 51 points. That's just not going to cut it.
Yeah, not going to cut it at all. And I think it all starts with for Green Valley is trying to redefine itself. Last year, you know, Nugget McDonald was their best player. He did a lot of the ball handling, a lot of the big-time scoring. They were solid underneath. Devin Kahn gave him some great production on the wing. And this year it's Tyler Roberts, who's a transfer from Foothill, doesn't really have that chemistry you kind of need with the players right there. And Green Valley from the state semifinals to struggling to get in the playoffs, I think is going to be likely the fate.
Right, and I agree with what you said at the end of the year. I agree that shake them up and it could be any order with Valley, Vegas, and Canyon Springs. But from what we've seen so far, I think it's pretty clear if we're making power ratings right now, I think Vegas is one, Valley is two, and Canyon Springs is three. Just based on what we've seen so far, I think that's going to change. Like I said, Canyon is missing their best player, so it's hard to judge them fairly right now. Valley lost three games we talked about last week by a total of like 6 points or something. But I think right now that has to be the top three over there.
Yeah, and I guess now that, well, moving to the Southeast, where does Basic fall in?
Well, right now you're going to say they played no one. You can't argue with the results, though. Basic has the best record in the city, 8-0. No one else is 8-0. In basketball, it's extremely hard to get to 8-0, but you still will not give the Wolves any love.
Their coach, who I saw at the Green Valley game, told me that I'd be a believer when it was all said and done. And I will be there Friday night, our game of the week, the Wolfpack of Basic at El Dorado.
It's an interesting game.
It's a tough game for Basic. You just don't go from Old Hendertucky to El Dorado and put up much of a fight.
I like El Dorado, but I think you're way too high on them. Last week you're telling me they might be the best team in the region. I know they had a tough schedule.
At least in the league, but in the Southeast.
I think you got to beat one of those teams last week if you want to be in the elite. They played Palo and Desert Pines, lost to them both. They were close, but I think we signed off last week saying, let's see how good this team is. And if they could win one, I'd be impressed. They didn't beat either.
Well, they hung with Palo, and the Desert Pines games is always a push because you've got, you know, the former coach of El Dorado and Julian Jacobs, who went to El Dorado, coming back. And that game is a circle game. We need to win it for those guys. So I give El Dorado a mulligan, just like I gave Valley last week after Valley lost to Basic. I still think they're elite teams. I think our final four in the Sunrise is going to include El Dorado for sure, as well as Vegas and Valley.
You think El Dorado is better than Foothill?
I think we'll find out tomorrow night, Wednesday night, when Foothill is at El Dorado.
If I'm making a power ratings right now, since that's what we did in the Northeast and the Southeast, I have Basic and Foothill definitely ahead of El Dorado.
No way.
There's no doubt.
No way.
You talked to their football coach once, and all of a sudden you think they're Bishop Gorman.
No. I don't think they're Bishop Gorman. You saw the Billingsley kid. He's a player.
Yeah, he's good.
Who does Foothill or Basic have that matches
Crisanto
up with
Smith? They got a bunch. Oh, the matches up with him. I didn't listen to the second part of your question.
No, but they have – listen, Foothill – when I watched them play, they started hot. They were up like 14-2. They couldn't miss their three-pointers. Austin Starr, I think, hit 4 three-pointers before my seat got warm. But they let Green Valley get back in the game. They're small. They don't have a great big man. Nothing against Foothill. Kevin Soares, best coach in the region, if not the city. And I don't think a lot of people are going to dispute that. I just don't know if he's got the personnel to beat El Dorado at El Dorado.
Yeah, that is tough. I agree. There's Basic at El Dorado and Foothill at El Dorado. I don't think El Dorado will win both of those games this week, but I think they'll win one of them.
They want to win the league, they need to win both those games because obviously El Dorado is new to the Southeast this year from the Northeast, and they haven't had to go to Basic and to Foothill. Too Basic especially is tough to play because Basic still has that kind of small town environment where on a Friday night you're going to get a few people from the community at your basketball game. And I think it's one of the only places in town where you kind of get that home court feel is at Basic.
So I think we do agree that those are probably the top three teams right now in the Southeast. What last week, we should just start off a segment every week on this where we just talk about how we have no idea. Last week we were making it sound like Silverado could lose to some 7th grade teams in town. And we were so high on Coronado, We probably thought they could beat Laverne, which maybe they could. UNLV's opponent last week. But then
Gorman could have beat Laverne, definitely. Go ahead.
Anyway, Silverado goes in and beats Coronado. I did not see that one coming.
I don't think we saw that one coming either. And usually Jeff Kaufman, the Coronado coach, is real good at communicating with me after every game. Not required to call, but he always likes to give me a heads up of what happened. And silent after the Silverado game, so that was kind of a little bit of a red flag. And then I saw on Twitter that, of course, Silverado had beaten Coronado, which goes from beating Centennial to losing to Silverado.
They were outscored by, I think, 21 or 22 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was like 39-14 in the fourth quarter.
Blew a 13-point lead.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want me, it seems like I think we crowned Coronado too fast. We were too down on them the first week, too high on them last week. They're somewhere in between. I don't think they're a great team. You can't be a great team and lose to a winless team, get outscored by 21 in the fourth quarter. But I don't think they're terrible either.
Here's the deal. When I talked to Kevin Soares, the Foothill coach, I kind of asked him to give me a scouting report on the region or who he thought he was gonna win. And he, like, laughed at me. He was like, bro, it's way too early, dude. Like, let it play out a little bit. Let's, you know, get our rotation set, you know, see what we have before we start making these predictions. So I totally get that. Here's the deal, though. How does Coronado go from beating Centennial, which has...
And Valley on back-to-back nights, right?
Which has arguably, and nobody wins on these back-to-backs, what we've learned.
Yeah.
But Centennial's got the Allen twins going to Stanford, arguably the top two players in town, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And against Silverado... They beat them. They outscored them 25-3 in the first quarter when Centennial played Silverado. So Silverado had no chance. Now all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, the team that beat it doesn't add up.
Yeah, it doesn't add up. One thing I will say, Silverado clearly not that great this year. They're 1-6, but I know kind of the identity of that team always has been that they play really good defense, and it seems like even though they've had trouble scoring this year, they still have held opponents. Maybe Centennial withstanding. It seems like they play pretty good defense, so I guess that keeps them in games, and they're going to win. They're going to make a surprise every once in a while. They're probably not as bad as we talked about them being, but they're still – I mean, they're not a playoff team. They're still 1-6.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this strategy question, because I find high school basketball –
bewildering.
Yeah. Okay, so you got 8-minute quarters, no shot clock, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so – if you get a big lead, say you're like an underdog, you're playing. Say I'm Bishop Gorman, and you're Cimarron, who Gorman beat last night, and somehow you get like a 5-point lead entering the fourth quarter. Do you hold the ball at the top of the key and just let the clock run out? Do you play keep away, or do you try to keep playing and scoring?
With how much left?
Start of the fourth.
Start of the fourth. I think maybe you slow it down, but you got to keep scoring. That's not a big enough lead.
Okay.
But it's so hard with high school kids. I've seen this before where a team, maybe not at the beginning of the fourth quarter, where like 4 minutes left, there's an upset going on, you're up six. The coach is trying to get them to slow down, but they're high school kids. It seems like there's a problem with I guess, taking that in, because then one of them will inevitably drive to the basket and throw up some ridiculous contested layup in between two people, and then it'll go the other way, and the coach will be – mm-hmm. shaking his head on the sideline. It seems like that always goes wrong. I wouldn't be an advocate of that early, but I think within the rules, I mean, you probably have to start thinking about it about midway through the fourth quarter.
What about overtime's 4 minutes, 62 all, you win the jump ball, you're Cimarron, you're playing Gorman. Do you hold it until the last shot?
No. I don't think you can do that.
Why not? You can do that.
All right, well, if you do You're playing Gorman, who has a lot of great athletes. How are you just – are you just going to have one guy dribble it? If you pass it all, Gorman's going to start pressuring and they'll steal it.
Okay. What now –
in my opinion.
If you're
really
Gorman
think that,
and you see that Cimarron is going to hold the ball
– you would start fouling, number two.
No. We're talking overtime now.
Yeah, in overtime.
Would you try to get
foul.
The ball?
Yeah, you try to steal it. And I think Gorman has the athletes that they probably would steal it.
Okay, so
– and then if you can't, last resort, you just start fouling.
Okay. All right. Well, there goes that.
In my opinion, if
I was a coach, I'd be like, when the jump ball, it's hold it to the last shot.
You don't think Grant Rice would be over there saying, go get the ball?
We play keep away.
If you're playing keep away with these guys, with their wingspans are ridiculous. Gorman versus Cimarron. Gorman's going to win that keep away eventually. I don't think you can keep the ball
away.
You're telling
me you
minutes.
Can't go the Dean Smith four corners and pull this off?
No, I don't think Cimarron versus all Gorman. Right. Maybe if it's Gorman, that has the ball against Cimarron for 4 minutes.
Well, I want to hear from you folks. Let me know at Twitter at RayBrewer21 or at Case Kiefer or at the comment section of this podcast. What would your strategy be in overtime against Gorman? You get the tip. Can you run the clock all the way down? Or if you're Gorman, what do you do if somebody tries that? Because I think that's what you do. You shorten the game. You make it
shorten
winnable.
It, but you can't keep it away for 4 minutes. I don't think that's going to work.
Why can't you?
Have you watched these high school games, how these teams deal with pressure? The teams that aren't great cannot handle pressure.
Why can't you keep
you
it
get
away?
Up on these guys, start
Dude,
trying to steal
you
it.
You don't have to be great to play keep away.
You don't
away.
Have to be great. You have Robotham up at the top trying to steal it from the point guard. He's going to get rattled. His Robotham's going to be all over it. Then he's going to throw a stupid pass. It takes Trey Kennedy hitting it once. They try to throw it inside. Zimmerman's going to hit it away. There is no way Cimarron can keep the ball away for 4 minutes. And even if they could, Grant Rice isn't going to sit there and go, well, dang. He's going to tell him to foul. These are good coaches and good players.
Now you get me to the line, and I make two shots, and I'm up two.
Then they get the ball, and they can tie it right back up. Or they
if
can
they don't tie it and I grab the rebound, now I don't shoot again.
And
I win.
I've That's only been to one game this year, but free throw shooting.
I know.
You're not going to hit two most of the time,
I tell you
opinion.
What. The free throw shooting, you bring me to a great point. How could you be so bad at something so easy?
There was some atrocious free throw shooting
oh
in the game
God.
I was at. It was, I think both teams
I
are
do,
below 50%.
You know, I do a lot of work at my church, right?
Uh-huh.
So for like 4 years, I was in charge of the Knights of Columbus free throw shooting contest. And we'd have boys and girls, 10 to 12, make 25 out of 25 like it was nothing. No questions asked. And these aren't like, you know, full-time players that want to get scholarships. These are just like recreational kids that have practiced for a little bit. How could you not make a free throw? It's so embarrassing. And even the good kids.
Exactly.
You know, just step up and get it done.
That's why you put the kids on the free throw line if you can't get the ball back. But I highly dispute that Gorman would not be able to steal the ball from a team like Cimarron.
Well, I guess Cimarron's bad then.
You well, went no, from Cimarron's decent.
You went
but
from being Mr. Spartan to
no, they're
a
decent.
Team as bad as Cimarron.
They're a playoff team, but you're not going to
Are they a playoff team?
Aren't they probably the four in whatever they're in?
Cimarron. I know
yeah,
it's Gorman.
Gorman, Legge. Centennial, Legacy, Cimarron's going to be the four. They're better than Bonanza and Desert Oasis, I would
Easily.
Say.
Easily. Everybody's better than Bonanza and Desert Oasis.
5-13 combined, which is probably better than anyone would have thought.
Okay. All right. You're right. You're right.
So, in my opinion, I don't think that works. I say that's a ridiculous strategy.
All right. Well,
I think maybe with like a minute and a half left, or even two, not four, or not the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Okay, we'll say there is a minute and a half left. It's Gorman Cimarron again because they played last night.
Cimarron actually hung with them pretty kind of last night, it looks like, by the score. They lost by 17. But okay, go ahead.
Okay, so you're Cimarron. You get the ball. There's 90 seconds left. It's tied against Gorman.
Uh-huh.
What do you do?
I'd be fine with trying to get the last shot in that situation.
And
probably.
If you're Gorman, do you try to foul or steal, or do you just D up their last attempt and force overtime?
I try to steal, for sure, no doubt.
But you don't try to foul?
Not right away. Maybe you tell them to D up at first. I'm not a basketball coach at all. I could be just totally full of it. But my opinion, I would say pressure these guys, get after them. I mean, I've seen high school teams deal with pressure. They deal with it. For the most part, not very well, especially against a team as athletic as Gorman. I say get up on them, pressure them. Then if Cimarron somehow is passing the ball around and is okay for 30 seconds, then you say, all right, foul him.
Okay, and what I would also do if I'm down by like 8 points in the fourth quarter, because you know these basketball teams have got like 12 and 15 kids. I have no idea because only like 8 or 9 of them play. But if I'm down by 8 entering the fourth quarter, I'm hack-a-shacking right away. No doubt about it. We've already established the kids can't make free throws.
But just a second ago, you said you wouldn't foul.
No, if I'm down by 8.
If you're down
by 8. I'm down by 8. I'm down 60-52 entering the fourth quarter of the state championship game against whoever. And I'm taking kids 8 through 13, 14 on the end of my bench, and I'm putting them in 1-on-1 to get 4 fouls.
Interesting. I have to think about that. Maybe I was too quick to foul. Maybe you don't try to foul in your situation, but I think you absolutely try to steal the ball, and I think you're successful most of the time, especially if there's 4 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I think your success rate of getting the ball back is pretty high, and you can be aggressive enough to where if you foul, it's no big deal. Maybe you don't say go intentionally foul, but swipe at the ball, and who cares if you get a reach.
Okay. All right.
All right. We talked a lot about the Sunrise region, correct? But we haven't really talked the Sunset yet. Anything stick out to you? I mean, Gorman is 6-0 now, no surprise. Robotham has been probably averaging about 20 points. He's their leading scorer every game.
He's been their best player.
At least, yeah, I think so. And you've pretty consistently got double-digit rebounds and a bunch of blocks from Zimmerman every game. So I think Gorman probably got to like the start there off too.
Yeah, especially in – I think what Gorman realizes is they'll be hosting that Jerry Tarkanian tournament this weekend, and they're getting their players a lot of experience because last year Gorman had the big three, the big four, and a lot of the guys they're relying on this year, Robothan, Kennedy, Zimmerman, Jeter, Nick Blair, yada, 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 they don't have much experience.
Right.
You know, I have to be the man on the court ball experience. And just like Anthony Bennett yesterday against UTEP, he played like a true freshman, 10 points. It's going to happen. And for Gorman's sake, they hope that it just doesn't all happen at the same time.
Right. Yeah, I don't think there's much to say about Gorman. We haven't really seen them really tested yet. They've won all their games they're supposed to. I think you got to be enthusiastic with what Robotham and Zimmerman have done. Yeah.
They got tested a little bit against Mountain View, against Arizona.
Okay, they did.
We're trailing second half.
They weren't, but they ended up winning by like 10, maybe?
Yeah, they won.
Okay. Another team that I saw last week in that region, I think has had the toughest schedule in the city so far. Every single time Palo Verde has a game, it's against someone tough. They're 3-3. I think they're going to be fine. They're still probably the favorite for that division. But, I mean, look at who they played. Beat Coronado, lose to Foothill, lose to Desert Pines, beat El Dorado and Canyon Springs on consecutive nights, and lose to Vegas in overtime. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's getting them battle-tested for sure. The schedule makers with the back-to-backs, I understand why they're doing it. They're trying to get a lot of games in before the holiday. And you got to win back-to-back on playoff nights. So it gets everybody ready. But it's tough if you're a team on a back-to-back playing a team in its first game of the week.
I guess I wasn't sure going into the year, especially. I probably need to see Desert Pines because Julian Jacobs might change my mind. But I honestly think that Aris Winder is probably the MVP of this year. And you kind of had me down on the kid. You're saying he might not be their best player. He does so much for this team. It's ridiculous. The game
I saw him play, right?
He had like 9 assists, 27 points, hit big shots, had like 6 rebounds. I mean, he literally does everything.
But
and he didn't even take his first shot till 6 minutes in because he's driving and kicking. And I'm just – every time I've seen the kid, I've been totally blown away with him. I've never seen him have a bad game. And I've seen Paolo a lot over the last couple of years.
And the book's still kind of out on Canyon because obviously they're not at full strength with your boy out.
Yeah, Canyon. But Canyon still – something's just – some. I just think they haven't come together yet. Like, if you took all the players from Palo and Canyon Springs and they were just – we didn't know who they were. They were just playing at the local gym down there, and me and you had a draft, we'd probably draft Winder and Gaynor pretty high. But all the other guys would be Canyon guys. They got some sick players. They got this guy in the middle, I think – sorry if I mess up his name – Tim Strouder. He had, like, 16 rebounds, 5 blocks when I saw him. They got Chris Nelson, another really good guard. It doesn't seem like they play well with each other right now, and maybe it's because Jared Davis, I think their best player, is missing. And it feels like Shaquille Carr, who's their star point guard, doesn't really have – seems like he isn't as comfortable with everyone else. It seems like Davis, he's played with him since he's 5 years old. He's really comfortable, you know, passing to him and getting him open looks. It doesn't seem like he has that same level of comfort with the rest of the team.
Yeah, and again, we're still early. We're week 3 into the season. However – it's an important week because this is the week league play starts.
A little too early.
In everybody's opinion, but apparently the people who are in charge.
Right.
I have no idea why, you know, we're – like Gorman this week I think is playing like – I think everybody's playing 3 league games this week.
Gorman has 3?
3, and then they're in a tournament, if I'm not mistaken, their own tournament.
But no Centennial yet.
Yeah, it's something like 11 games in 10 days for Gorman. Or 10 games in 11 days for Gorman. It is.
Let's get Christmas off.
No,
Catholic
I think they.
School?
Yeah, of course. Everybody gets Christmas off.
Okay, well, yeah. 11 games in 10 days. It doesn't make it sound like it.
Well, they got off Sunday, so this is starting back in the tournament in Reno they were in.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's get to the picks.
All right. I don't have them in front of me, so I guess you can lead it today.
We got a full slate of games on Wednesday. Foothill at El Dorado. I already said I don't think Foothill. I don't think Foothill or Basic has got the DNA to go in there and beat them. And I think El Dorado needs to make a statement. I think they win by double digits.
No way El Dorado wins both of these games, let alone wins both of these games by double digits. I guess I just got to decide which one I want to pick them, which one I want to go against them. Basic, you know I'm high on them. I think they've had a great start to the year, but I don't see them starting 10-0. So I'm going to go with Foothill to beat El Dorado to start the week, and then maybe El Dorado rebounds and breaks Basic's little run.
Okay, Green Valley at Las Vegas. I think we already established that I'm high on Vegas, and then I think Green Valley has got a tough road to climb in the new Northeast League. Give me the Wildcats.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for two dates, January 11th and February 6th. That's when Las Vegas and Valley play.
Those
other than Gorman and Centennial, that got to be like the most. That's got to be, excuse me, like the most anticipated games yet. I think Vegas will roll over Green Valley here, especially at home.
And Valley's coach Farnsworth and Vegas's coach Wilson play together at Valley.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's a nice little.
Seems like Valley's gotten the better of that series since we've been covering basketball the last couple of years. And maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like they've probably won three or four or something like that.
And I'll play the over in every game there because it's just absolute street ball up and down the court.
All right.
High intensity. I love that Valley band.
Well, I'm taking Vegas for right now.
I'm taking them too. Liberty at Case Kiefer's Basic Wolfpack. The Patriots edge Silverado last week in one of our picks. And it's still a league game, and I think it's going to be tight. I think Basic might play down a little bit to Liberty. I've got Basic winning about an 8-point game.
I'm going to agree, but I think Liberty is getting better. Have you looked at their roster? They have a lot of football kids that play, maybe like three or four. I don't know how good all of them. I know Kainaku is one of their best players, but also looking at their roster, they have Jalen Mitchell and maybe then Tyler Newman.
Okay.
I mean, that's a bunch of football players, so I think they're going to get better. I wouldn't be surprised if they pull off an upset sometime, but I'm going to take Basic at home here.
Okay. All right. Palo Verde at Arborview, I think one of the great games of the week. They're clearly, no doubt about it, 1-2, 2-1 in the Northwest. I love the Burks kid from Arbor, and I think they pull a shocker, and I think they upset Palo Verde. That's my upset shock and lock of the week. 63-60, those Aggies of Arborview, who've got to be at least 8-point dogs in the game.
No way. At home, 8-point dogs?
Dude, you just
this is like nearly
off
a pick'em.
Palo has beat everybody.
No, I didn't rattle off. They're 3-3. I said they
played
everyone.
Yeah, but they
played
everybody. They're tested. They're ready to go. This is another
there
game.
Is no way they're an 8-point favorite. No
including
possible
the
way.
Rivalry?
No possible way they're an 8-point
right,
favorite.
That was too high. I like Arbor, though. And
I think Palo's maybe like a 2 or 3-point favorite.
Okay.
But I can't pick Arborview because I picked my big upset last week was them to beat Centennial. I think they lost by like 14. The Allen Twins had 55 combined.
Yeah,
and,
tough to beat the Allen Twins.
Yeah, but they also Centennial didn't let them. Arborview either didn't shoot very well or Centennial played great defense. So I can't go with the slight upset here. I don't think it's a big upset. Definitely not a shock. I mean, you could sell me that Palo Verde has the two best players on the floor, but I would say that Arborview might have 3 through 6.
Okay.
Or 3 through 7 even.
Okay. All right.
But I got Palo.
You got Palo. Okay, well, good. We disagree for once. Durango at Sierra Vista. Durango, they've got Jerry Tarkanian's grandson, a sophomore, a good shooter from the outside. They've got Paris Estrada, who you know I think high of. Sierra Vista, to their credit, they're middle of the road. I think Durango, though, wins this big league game.
I think, and let me know if you disagree, I think we have really slept on Durango. I don't think we're high enough on them.
Well, I had Mojave beating them last week.
And I think they blew out Mojave.
No, I thought they only won by like 5 or 6.
Really? I thought they won by like 22.
Look that up on
Hold on, I'm going to look it up.
I think it was close. Maybe they did win big. Who knows?
They beat Mojave by 16.
Oh, by 16?
Yeah.
Must not have my glasses.
Yeah, I think they only beat Shadow Ridge by 4, though. Maybe that's what you saw. That's kind of
Durango?
Yeah, that's kind of surprising. But here's why I'm high on this team.
Can't be that Shadow Ridge result.
Well, we've talked about Paris Estrada a lot, and he's not even like – he's such a playmaker for them. He looks like he gets everyone else open looks. He's never their leading scorer. He always has like 8 or 9 assists. They got the kid you talk about that shoots well outside. They got – I'm going to mess up these names. Deshaun Streeter, Detragon Rollins, and last week I mentioned another kid, some forward, Tyler Watts maybe. I just feel like they're really well-rounded. They have 2 losses. They lost by 2 to Centennial on a last-second shot, and they lost by 6 to Canyon Springs. Those are pretty good losses. Yeah. You're going to have 2 losses. Those are pretty good at Canyon Springs.
Okay. Yet the Shadow Ridge result still is shocking.
The Shadow Ridge result is shocking, but
– So you're saying Durango wins 20-ish.
On
against Sierra.
When is this? Is this Wednesday?
Wednesday, yeah.
Maybe not 20-ish, but 15-ish.
That's what I got it right on the nut. 15.
Okay, well, Sierra Vista is actually, they're not in the bottom rung of teams.
Okay, all right,
they're okay.
We agree on this one.
All right.
Friday's games, the last day of school before Christmas break, so some kids will have shopping on their minds, I'm sure. Valley at Green Valley. Remember, Green Valley does get its little instigator nation there, and they do have a minor impact. And we know that Valley's best player, Danny Young, has got no patience at all, so they could get under his skin. I still have Valley winning, but I'm giving you reasons for the upset.
I feel like I'm I don't know. I kind of want to go with the upset here, but because I feel like I'm piling on Green Valley after being high on them last week. But I got to go with Valley here. I think they're a better team. What did you say the kids are going to be thinking about shopping?
Yeah.
Do the high school kids really Christmas shop that much?
I don't know. I'm just saying that.
Are you done Christmas shopping?
Oh, my God. We went last night first of all, yesterday morning, I go to Babies R Us, or Toys R Us to get some toys for Nicholas.
Your son.
My son.
For anyone
that
doesn't know.
Got him a drum set. You know, because he likes to play the drums.
Oh, yeah, he loves drums.
Got him it's just real rough on me because he likes some, like, cartoon characters. And, you know, I don't watch shows, movies or anything.
Right.
So you've heard of
except for NCIS.
Yeah.
And House.
And Castle. I don't watch House. Yeah.
Oh, okay, Castle.
You know Toy Story, right?
Yeah.
Have you watched that?
Of course. Back in the day. No, I saw the first one back when it first came out, I think late 90s. I haven't seen it since then, but I'm familiar with the story.
Okay, so there's like 3 of these Toy Stories now. 1, 2, and 3. So Nicholas has got this book, and every time it goes to the Toy Story page, there's like this monster of sorts. And he always points to the monster, and he's like,
"Wow, I don't remember the monster."
I think the monster might have been introduced for the third show,
okay.
The third one. So anyways, I go to Toys R Us and I ask the woman, I'm like, "Do you have the monster from Toy Story?" You know, she's looking at me like I'm crazy. So I ended up hunting down the monster and then the guy that's the astronaut in the show.
Buzz Lightyear.
I got one of him. So I got the drum set, a few Buzz Lightyears. And then
he's a Buzz Lightyear guy, not a Woody.
Who knows?
Toy Story is Buzz Lightyear or Woody. That's all I remember. Okay. So obviously Nick is Buzz Lightyear.
He likes the astronaut
things.
Guy. And then what else? Oh, I got him like a truck, one of those trucky things.
I haven't done any shopping yet. I got to do it tonight.
I'll wait till the last minute. Your significant other?
No, I haven't figured out her yet. I'm going back to Alabama to be with my family. I got to buy him a couple things, right?
Well, I guess you do. Are you going to bring him on the plane?
Yeah.
Okay. It's just a lot of extra luggage.
Well, what am I going to do? Bring him nothing?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, so
Christmas is always fun. So I think I got a majority of it done. I got to go. I was with my wife last night at the store. She gave me a few things that she wanted. We got it there. But I like to go out and get a few surprises.
Sounds good. You're ahead of me either way. And probably ahead of these kids that all during Friday's games are just going to be thinking about shopping.
About what they're going to get their parents and their siblings, yes.
All right. Basic
at Elder Auto.
Who's going to be thinking less about shopping? I guess that comes down to who wins.
Yeah, I think Basic has no chance in this game.
I pick Eldorado. Go ahead. Tell me why they're going to win.
No, I don't think they're going to. I'm going to pick Eldorado. Like I said, I think Eldorado splits these 2 games against Basic and Foothill. Basic, a great start to the year, but I don't see them going 10-0 into this winter break. They got to lose sometime. I think this is a good spot for Eldorado, especially if they lose earlier in the week to Foothill. they're going to want this one, and I think they'll get it done.
Okay. Like I said, again, if El Dorado doesn't sweep, I'd be shocked. Coronado at Liberty, big rivalry. St. Rose Parkway splits them. And obviously Liberty handed it to them in the football playoffs. Question of the night, Case Kiefer, does Coronado get its revenge?
I wasn't going to do this, but I think we only disagreed on we disagree on two games. And I'm not going to disagree with you on the last one. So I'm going to go with an upset here. I'm going to take Liberty. Why not?
Okay. I mean,
and if you can call me crazy and I won't defend my pick at all. I got to be different on you on something. I got to pick an upset somewhere. So here's my upset. I think Liberty, with those football players I talked about earlier getting into the groove, I think they can beat Coronado at home.
Okay. I know Jeff Kaufman listens, and I know he will text you after they win to say in your face.
Well, it's not like it's not like I'm hating on Coronado. I think they're a favorite in this game on the road, but you got to pick an upset every now and then.
Okay.
Liberty it is. Because I'm not going to pick an upset in our last game, Silverado at Canyon Springs. We talk about the Pioneers still needing to find their rhythm and getting on track. I think this is probably a good opportunity.
Yeah, and for whatever it's worth, we've been wrong in Silverado a few times already. Just underestimating.
One time.
Underestimating them. I think Canyon wins as well.
All right. Canyon Springs, that'll do it for this week and for a while on Prep Sports Now.
We'll see you the week after New Year's?
Yeah, beginning of January, right?
Two week hiatus. So listen often in the next 2 weeks.
All right. Thanks a lot for listening. Like you said, 2 weeks, we'll be back. Prep Sports Now.
Happy holidays.